Smart Talk is supported by Capital Blue Cross, providing healthcare coverage accepted by doctors and specialists in all 50 states. More information is available at capitalbluecross.com. Smart Talk is also supported by UPMC, offering a broad range of cardiac and vascular treatments in our community. More information is available at upmc.com/centralpaheart.
Rick Steves is a popular television host, best-selling guidebook author, travel writer, and an outspoken activist who encourages Americans to broaden their perspectives through travel. He is the founder and owner of Rick Steves Europe, a travel business with a tour program that brings more than 30,000 people to Europe annually. Rick Steves spends about 4 months a year in Europe researching guidebooks, fine-tuning his tour program, making new discoveries for travelers, and filming his TV show. Beginning Saturday, October 15th, Rick Steves will have a new TV series airing on WITF called Rick Steves' Art of Europe. Here to tell us more about the series and provide tips and insight about the travel world this season is Rick Steves. Mr. Steves, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's great to be with you, Anaya.
So for those who don't know, where did your passion for travel come from, and how did you get to the place that you are now as a popular public television host and best-selling guidebook author?
Well, my passion for Europe really goes back to my parents dragged me to Europe when I was a little kid and I didn't want to go. And I got over there and I realized this world's a big place. And I traveled a lot as a teenager, and I was learning from my experience and my mistakes. And I thought, man, other people are making the same mistakes I've made. If I could just collect the lessons I've learned from my travels and pack them into a talk or a book or something like that, other people could learn from my mistakes rather than their own, have a better trip. And I'd have a good excuse to go back to Europe every year and update my material. And that's what I've been doing for the last 40 years. Now wow. I've got 100 colleagues here in Seattle and technology beyond my wildest dreams to amplify my teaching. And I'm just having a lot of fun. Europe is my beat. And I spend 100 days a year in Europe and love to come home and share my lessons.
And you talked about sharing your lessons. Above the titles that you hold that I mentioned previously, you consider yourself to be a teacher, is what I read. One of the important things that you teach is how Americans can broaden their perspectives through travel. So what are some of the ways that people can travel in a way that challenges their perspectives and norms?
You know, that's so fundamental to travel, is broadening your perspective. My whole mission is to inspire and equip Americans to venture beyond, you know, Disney World. And not that Disney World is a bad thing, but if you've been there 3 or 4 times, you could consider Portugal. And I just feel like if you travel smartly, you broaden your perspective and you come home with the most beautiful souvenir. And that's a better understanding of the other 96% of humanity. Ironically, to me, a lot of Americans try to travel in a way where they avoid culture shock. Culture shock is like a bad thing. Oh, you don't want culture shock. Culture shock's a good thing. It's constructive. It's the growing pains of a broadening perspective. So you want to harness culture shock to make you a better citizen of the planet. And when you're traveling, you can learn about other cultures. You can also learn about other times. You can go back in time. Travel is just a rich experience, and it just carbonates our lives in so many ways.
And what are some of the other fears or factors that may hold people back from exploring places in a way that's culturally broadening?
You know, Thomas Jefferson said travel makes a person wiser, if less happy. And I think deep down inside, a lot of Americans are settled and comfortable thinking we're the norm on this planet. But the fact is, we're not the norm. The world's not a pyramid with us on top and everybody else trying to figure it out. People who sit on something when they go to the toilet are the oddballs. You know, people who use spoons and forks are the oddballs. A third of the people on the planet use chopsticks, and a third of the people use their fingers. And as a very wise man in Afghanistan once told me, we're all civilized just the same.
And how can people get past those fears or factors that keep them from experiencing the fullness of different places across the world?
Well, for me, that's the challenge. That's the fundamental thing. And you can be a tourist with a bucket list. You can be a tourist with a selfie camera and an Instagram account, just excited to be standing in front of the Eiffel Tower. Or you can hang out with new people who you wouldn't normally hang out with and find that there are people on this planet with who find different truths to be self-evident and God-given. My beat is Europe. And it's kind of it's the wading pool of world exploration. But for me, the big step is for Americans to branch out of our culture. You know, you come home probably more thankful than ever that you live here. But it's cool to know that different people are excited about different things. And as a tour guide in Europe, that's our mission. I've got over 100 guides, and we all work together and help our, when people take our bus tours, we want them to try new things. One of my favorite things is to just broaden people's list of what they like to eat. Because when you go to a different country, you try different foods. We write different guidebooks. I think I've written 50 guidebooks for covering all of Europe. And the idea is for us to not only save money and not only be efficient and have a smart itinerary, but grab opportunities that let us broaden our perspectives, to get out of our comfort zone. And a lot of us are going to the famous cities, which is a great thing, but we find higher prices and bigger crowds and more tired cultural cliches on stage. And when we get out and just get our fingers dirty in the culture, play petanque with the old guys in the park and in a small town in France, you know, go to a sauna with a bunch of working class Finns in the suburb of Helsinki, play backgammon in a tea house in Turkey where a tourist has never sat down. These are great opportunities.
And you just shared some really powerful and interesting travel tips with us just now. But as we approach the holiday season, what are some other travel tips, deals, and trends that people should be aware of?
I think trends and deals and where the dollar is strong is not that big a deal. What really matters is where are your travel dreams taking you? If the dollar is really strong in Portugal and your travel dreams are taking you to Ireland, the best value for you is in Ireland. And, you can travel smartly. And this is the thing I've been teaching for decades is, what's the best form of transportation for your needs? Should you drive or should you take a train? Should you stay in a hotel or should you stay in a guest house or should you stay in a B&B? Should you picnic? Should you go to a fancy restaurant or should you go down to the market and eat in a little hole in the wall? These are all options you have. Should you take a cruise? Should you drive? Should you get a train pass? It's exciting. There's lots of right answers. The big news now is traveling post-COVID or during COVID. And it's important to remember that COVID is still going. I mean, I took 30,000 people to Europe this year on about 1,000 different bus tours, and we had a 3% COVID rate. In other words, 3 people out of 100. That's less than one person per bus, tested positive during their tour and had to leave the tour. If you're traveling these days, you should remember, nobody can tell you, yes, it's safe. No, it's not safe. It's a matter of what your ability to take the risk is. I would say if you're comfortable traveling around the United States these days, going to a concert, eating in an indoor and crowded restaurant, you should be comfortable traveling around Europe. It's every bit as safe as the United States from a pandemic point of view. And I wouldn't give a second thought to flying across the Atlantic during these times. That's safe to me. But there is the risk of getting COVID when you're in Europe. And of the, of the 3% of the people that took our tours this year, none of them had to go to the hospital. None of them needed to see a doctor. They just tested positive and they had to isolate themselves until they tested negative. So you have that. And I find that there's you can have a standard where you're much less likely to get COVID. For me, you don't want a crowded, noisy, unventilated area. You don't want to go to an Irish pub and drink in a dark crowd with no ventilation for hours on end. That's a dangerous thing compared to going to a piazza in Italy and licking your ice cream cone in the open air. But for me, the great news, Anaya, is that after 2 years of COVID, the energy is back in Europe. The people are out in the streets. If you want to do the Paseo in Spain, if you want to do the Passeggiata in Italy, if you want to clink glasses in a big beer hall in Munich, if you want to get your cheeks kissed in Paris, You can. It's all there. The energy is back. And that is something I'm really thankful for.
Mr. Rick, you earlier discussed the importance of Europe and how Europe is your beat. You've dedicated so much of your career to exploring Europe. What about Europe has grabbed your focus so much that you've dedicated your life work to exploring it?
Well, my favorite country is India. And I would say I love Indonesia. I love Thailand. I love traveling in Japan and Central America. But I've decided I want to focus and be the best help I can for American travelers. And the main mission for me and my colleagues at Rick Steves Europe is to equip and educate Americans to be able to travel internationally, to get out of our country and try something new. And as I mentioned earlier, for me, Europe is the gateway to world travel. It's the biggest market. It's my heritage. I've got a degree in European history. I've been traveling there for a third of my adult life, living out of a carry-on the airplane-sized suitcase. And I just love Europe. So, it's my hope that people can gain confidence after a trip to Europe and then branch out beyond that. But for me, it's just, I never get tired of Europe. As I said, I've spent, 100 days a year there every year since I was a kid. And I'm always finding new things. I was just barging on the canals of Burgundy, enjoying gourmet food. I was just on a long distance hike in the Swiss Alps with my girlfriend for a week. Just this last month, had the time of my life. And long distance hikes in the Alps, venerable hikes, lacing together old world hotels that are off the grid and a 2 mile hike above the nearest car. That's exciting. And I never even seriously considered that until this last year or two. So there's lots to do. There's lots of great places to travel. But, I have a big responsibility. If people get my guidebooks or watch my TV shows or use our bus tours, to really do a good job. So we focus on Europe and we just want to do, that's our beat. And now with our new TV series, it's a dream I've had for ever since I've been guiding tours. And I've been doing that for 30 years, is to lace together 6 hours of the greatest European art, the whole story of European art from cave paintings to Picasso. And now finally, it's been a 2-year project. Just this month, we're debuting our series. And for me as a tour guide, it is thrilling to share all my favorite tour guiding tips so people can go to the art and the architecture of Europe and be properly wowed. You know, you stand in front of the Pantheon in Rome and you realize this is the best preserved building of ancient Rome. And when you step in, you see the magnificent splendor of Rome at its zenith. And before you go in, you see these one-piece massive granite columns, 50 tons each, 50 feet tall. We always take 4 tourists to put their arms around it. It takes 4 tourists to circle one of these columns. And to think it was quarried in Egypt 2,000 years ago and put on a big rowboat and rowed from Egypt all the way to Rome and then erected there with a bunch of other columns that have the same story, it's incredible. And then you step inside and you see this perfect circle within a perfect cube, 140 feet wide, 140 feet tall, lit by a glorious skylight. And you think that 2,000 years ago, this was a pantheon, a temple to all the gods. And today it houses the tomb of Raphael, the great master from the Renaissance and the first king of Italy. And you can step into there and you can be wowed or you can just marvel at the crowds. It depends how much you understand about it. So as a tour guide and a teacher and an enthusiast for getting Americans to broaden their perspective through travel, I love to remind people that you can't really save money on the admission fee. We'll all pay the same to get into these sites, but you can triple your experience by just knowing a little bit about what you're looking at. And thanks to public television, I'm able to produce this 6-hour series where I can respect people's intelligence and assume an attention span and make programming driven not by a passion for keeping advertisers happy, but by a passion for just turning us on to the wonders of our beautiful world. And it's a dream come true for me as a teacher. And that's something, it's just that passion for teaching and sharing what you love that I'm really thankful I found my niche in.
And speaking of your passion for Europe, I know you have an upcoming TV series called Rick Steves Art of Europe that you were just talking about. It will air on WITF beginning Saturday, October 15th. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and what people can expect?
Sure. And the challenge for me was to distill the story of Europe's art and architecture into 6 hours. So we broke this lesson into 6 hours, and I get to take you to all of my favorite sites in Europe, artistic wonders. And the first hour is prehistoric times through ancient Greece. The next hour is ancient Rome, 1,000 years from 500 BC to 500 AD. It grows for 500 years, peaks for 200 years, and falls for 300 years. It's a little more complicated than that. The third hour is the Middle Ages from 500 to 1500. And that's just a fascinating time for sightseeing and the great Gothic cathedrals. The next hour is the Renaissance from about 1400 to 1600. Then we get the Baroque Age and the flip side of Baroque when, you know, all that extravagance of the divine monarchs and the royals and the elites. They finally had the revolution and they had the neoclassical period. And the sixth hour is the modern age from Romanticism up until today. So our challenge was to distill that all down. But we did it, and we got to share all of our favorite teaching techniques. Before taking one of our tour groups into a Gothic cathedral, I like to build a Gothic cathedral out of human beings. It takes 13. So I get my volunteers lined up, and we have six columns, and they stand three facing three. We have the ribs coming together. That means the arms coming together to make pointed arches up above. And then we have buttresses. So we get six buttresses to come and stand behind each of the columns, and that makes the column stronger. And then when the spire puts her hands on top of the ribs and hoists herself high above that human structure, and you see the pointed arch causing the weight of the spire to push not down but out, and the buttresses engage and do their work to make the walls strong, you see that skeleton of support that's a Gothic cathedral, and you realize now you've got walls that can just hold windows, and heavenly light can shine through those stained glass windows and warm and illuminate the interior. That's the triumph of Gothic 800 years ago. That's why Gothic's better than Romanesque. And when you build that Gothic cathedral out of people, you step into that Gothic cathedral and you go, wow, now I get it. This was the most glorious space people could create back then to get close to God and to celebrate their culture. You see, that's a teaching trick that we do on tour, and I can do that on television. And that's just one example of 6 hours of ways we're teaching art in a fun way so that people can go to Europe and the art can be a joy. I remember when I was a kid, my mom said you had to go to the museums. It'd be a crime not to. And, I was surrounded by these people in the art museums thinking, how could anybody enjoy this? They must be faking it. And then I took an art class. I learned a little bit of what I'm looking at, and I realized, yes, the more you know about art, the more fun it is. And again, thanks to WITF and thanks to public broadcasting, we're able to share the story of European art in 6 exciting hours. And that's, again, it's coming up, I guess, on Saturday, October 15th in your community.
Yeah. And how can you do that in just 6 hours? And if you can provide us some insight on some of the characteristics of European art.
Well, the trick was to do it in 6 hours. And of course, you can just scratch the surface. So we were very, very careful on what we wanted to select. And I've got an ethic in all of my TV shows that we never do anything that our viewers can't do. So everything we show in the series, just like on my regular TV shows that people see on WITF, it's all accessible. Everybody can do this. And the things we're going to be doing is taking the sweep of European art to explain it, to go out at Versailles and to think, wow, this was a time when you have divine monarchs. People really believed God said this guy gets to be the king and we have to all obey. And to see the most sumptuous palace. And Louis XIV gathered more mirrors together than anybody had ever done. And he slathered it with gold leaf. And he rerouted rivers so they could have the most incredible fountains anywhere. He spent half a year, the entire income of the country of France, to build his palace. And you go out there and you realize, well, that's great if you're a king, but what about all the poor and hungry people? And then they finally got mad and they dragged the king and queen into Paris and eventually cut off their heads. And you have the revolution. And now you have a new kind of art. It's neoclassicism, where everything is subjected to the test of reason. And you see this radical swing from Baroque to neoclassical to romantic. And to be able to take people by the hand and walk them through all these exciting ages of art, right up to modern times, where you get to follow Picasso's life and to look at his final art when he declared, as a child, I was taught to paint like an adult. And finally, you know, when he's like 70 or 80 years old, he learned how to paint like a child. He's free to paint the way his soul wanted to paint. And Salvador Dali, the great surrealist, he said, I am the drug. When people said, are you on drugs? Because this art was so far out. This sweep is amazing, going from cave paintings 20,000 years ago in southern France to the beautiful murals that cover the streets in cities like Glasgow and Lisbon and Athens today. And again, as you mentioned, distilling it into 6 hours was a challenge, but we did it. I was really careful in the script not to clutter it with a lot of names and dates. So what I have on my website at ricksteves.com is all the scripts. And then for each paragraph in the TV show, we have a hard bracket with identifying all the art and all the travelers' locations so that the show itself is not cluttered with all of that. And you can just sit back and enjoy the most sumptuous art. I mean, for me with my crew, to be all alone in front of the Mona Lisa, to be all alone in front of Leonardo's Last Supper, to be all alone in the Sainte Chapelle in Paris, built to house what they thought was the crown of thorns, and to be able to film it and to give it meaning and to bring it home and share it on public television, that's the greatest dimension of my work. And this has been a 2-year project. It's the realization of a dream that I've had for decades. And it's just debuting this month. So I'm just so proud and thankful for my crew and for public television to have a chance to share this with our public. And my hope is it'll inspire people to learn more about art and look at art as kind of a time tunnel experience. It takes us back. It lets us better understand where we've been, how far we've come, and where we need to go.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with me, Mr. Steves. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, and happy travels.
We've been speaking with Rick Steves, American travel writer, television personality, best-selling guidebook author, and activist. Rick's new TV series, Rick Steves' Art of Europe, begins on Saturday, October 15th on WITF-TV and available on demand on the PBS Video app. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional.